Welcome, all you MCU fans, to True Believers, the podcast and show here on the Fandom Podcast Networks that covers everything that is happening in the MCU. And of course, this week, you know, we're going to be talking about Just Jen, Attorney at Law. Oh, wait, I guess that would be She-Hulk. But either way, I can't cover it by myself. I got a co-host this week. He has promised not to Hulk out during the podcast. We'll see if he keeps that promise or not. Of course, he is the one, the only co-founder of the Fandom Podcast Network, Mr. Kevin Reitzel.
I'm not feeling shulky, but I'm feeling heelky.
Okay, then. Now, Kevin, before we get too deep here, are we sure this is an episode of True Believers? Because I really feel like this could easily be an episode of Blood of Kings.
I see what you mean. I see the immortal connective tissue there. But, you know, half the Avengers are immortal, aren't they? So,
yeah. It feels like it sometimes.
Yeah.
I just want to get, but you're here either way, and you are the co-host of Blood of Kings, so we got it all covered. So it's all good. But it is time to talk about the MCU, and specifically talking about the latest episode of She-Hulk, episode 6, Just Jen. But before we get into that, I need to do my public service. That is right. We are going to be diving deep into this out of nowhere wedding episode. But isn't that how they kind of happen, Kevin?
Yeah, weddings can be very inconvenient. And most important, if you know me and you want to invite me to your wedding, best not make it during football season weekends.
Well, but you know what, Kevin? I am looking out for you in that case. Jonathan is ready to go to be your pair for the wedding.
Jonathan?
Yeah, you know, he might be a little leaky, but yeah. The four legs, the pup.
What?
Jonathan the dog from this episode.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Say the dog, dude. I don't memorize the dog's name.
However, we will say Jen does look good in polka dots.
This is true.
With that, Kevin, would you care to take us into phase one? And let's talk a little bit of plot of Just Jen.
All right. Let's head into phase one. We got several phases here, but yeah, let's definitely head into phase one. All right. This is True Believers, episode 65, She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, or Jen at Law. Just Jen. Episode aired September 22nd, 2022. Walters is invited to be a bridesmaid at her old friend Lulu's wedding. When she arrives at the reception, however, she is disappointed to find out that Lulu wants her to present her as her normal self instead of being in her Hulk form. Yeah, everyone's got an ass. And is saddled with numerous pre-wedding duties. Things become more complicated when Titania shows up at the reception and she's dating one of Lulu's groomsmen. Walters bonds with Josh, a friend of the groom, before Titania attacks her, who makes it clear that she wants Walters out of the picture. Walters transforms into She-Hulk, and they fight briefly, until Titania loses a tooth and loses her cool before storming out. Meanwhile, Book and Ramos work on a divorce case for a superhuman individual known as Mr. Immortal, who has gotten out of numerous previous marriages by repeatedly faking his own death. But the case becomes more difficult when 8 of Mr. Immortal's previous spouses all file suits against him after discovering his secret thanks to an online video on a site called Intelligentsia, showing one of his feigned deaths. Ramos is able to resolve the case by helping all 8 of the spouses to work out compensation details. As she and Book discuss the aftermath of the case, however, they discover a message board of an organization on Intelligentsia that contains numerous death threats aimed at She-Hulk. Meanwhile, the organization is ready to give another try to steal Jennifer's blood sample after the Wrecking Crew's failed attempt to do so. Now, we didn't have a post-credit scene there, Kyle, but as I always tell you on the show, you got to pay attention to the credit animation scenes because there's a few to note from there. Mm-hmm. First of all, a lot of weddings will have the wedding booth fun, where you go into the wedding booth and you take those old school photos and this thing pops out and there's four pictures on it. There's some very funny wedding pictures from that one, Noel, including, of course, you said Jonathan the dog, right?
Yes, Jonathan the dog.
Yeah, and there's several other ones from the guests that are very funny. Also, it shows Titania getting her dental work, and she's taking a selfie while doing so. And the 22nd sincere apology from Mr. Immortal to ex-wife number one is happening, which is a very funny scene. So as of course you remember, Nikki arranges settlements for all of the eight spouses. And at first was 15 seconds of eye contact and sincere apology. And he finds out the conditional is somewhat a little difficult maybe. So Nikki bumps it to 20. So that was kind of funny. And the credits show her timing it on her phone as he is sweating bullets. So your first reactions, Carl?
You know what? I give Marvel and She-Hulk and the creators behind She-Hulk kudos, because to do this episode and have that initial, I know we'll talk about it here shortly, but have that initial fourth wall breaking where she's like, yeah, no, this is not what you were expecting. This is that untimely wedding episode, like all weddings. And it just goes from there. And again, it's fun. And Tatiana plays it up so well. And I love how they handle it, both the A plot with She-Hulk at this wedding and the B plot with the Mr. Immortal storyline, a very obscure character from the MCU. I know we'll talk about a little bit later, but Kevin, I got to tell you, much like Jomi did on the Mint Condition podcast, which I listened to before earlier today when they talked about this episode of She-Hulk, when they hand me the groomsmen shirts to iron, I start throwing hands, because just no, it ain't happening. I'm not ironing the groomsmen shirt after Mario Kart's.
yeah, definitely. I like the idea that, you know, we think this show, the next episode might be going towards something, since they tease the whole Daredevil mask cowl thing. And I think it's important to see the lead character here in uncomfortable social situations, because I think that's where it excels, because it's funny. And Tatiana Maslany does a great job as Jen Walters in that situation, as both She-Hulk and as just Jen. And also, too, it's a good character development episode with not just her, but also the other characters that have been introduced in the show, giving them a little time to burn. What do you think?
Oh, no, I completely agree with you and everything you just said. I really like how we get like her friend, who's working with the attorney from last episode and working on that case. I think that all that was just wonderful. And we see how genius she is. And we see how the other attorney sees how much of a genius she is too. And it's given her props. So I kind of like, that's an interesting little angle there. I loved everything they did with the fact that here you have Jen finally really wanting to embrace She-Hulk and be She-Hulk. And then she's asked not to be. So I think that was a great twist to that.
When she arrives at the wedding and she's just killing it in that dress, and her friends are commenting on her ass and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it zooms in on the bride to be, and she goes, yeah, everyone's got an ass. And she could see the look of jealousy on her face, yeah, going, I am not going to be overshadowed at my own wedding with She-Hulk is looking like that.
Yeah. Bridezilla personified in this episode. Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, go ahead. I was going to ask you something, because you have the, up here, and I want to introduce it properly for you.
No,
if you don't mind. If I may.
All right. Go ahead,
Kevin. I just want to say that I am proud that you are going to tell us about the newest Hulk in the family.
Yes. Can we give it up to Incredible Hulk? Okay, Kyle. I gotta say. So I gotta say, I'm really liking Ched.
He is the smartest one in the family.
He's an entrepreneur. He's seems to be popping up everywhere. And I love the fact that he is funny. And I need some more Ched in my life. And I think they're giving a sprinkle in each episode here. I think he's gotten more screen time now than Banner himself and the parents. Dude's cracking me up. I love Ched. What about you?
I think he's great. I really wish we would have gotten a little moment between Ched and Jen in this episode, though.
Do you mean like a more like realistic kind of, you know, brother sister type of thing, or
I don't know, just even some like off the wall comments like we would expect from Ched. We didn't even get that. He was so locked in on the DJing. It's like he didn't even see it was Jen who was there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There wasn't even like any acknowledgement of each other. He was too busy going with his air horn. You know,
if you're going to use the air horn at the right time, you got to get props, because that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, dude, all you need is a soundboard. Come on.
Fourth wall breaking, of course, in the beginning when Jen announces she's going to be a bridesmaid at the wedding, and that this is going to be a self-contained episode that no way advances the overarching plot. She turns to the camera to acknowledge that this is an inconvenience given the limited number of episodes left in the season, but they're doing it anyway. Thus, we're getting 9 instead of 8, maybe, Kyle. I don't know, but I love episode.
I believe this was a 10 episode series.
Oh, it is 10. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. What I love about it, though, is the fact we get the big tease of Daredevil at the end of last week's episode, and then they just throw us the complete another curveball. But they do it so creatively and so much fun with doing this episode. So
yeah.
I really like it. They just love saying, we got you every week.
IMDb is only showing 9. I don't know if that is – that doesn't necessarily mean
anything. No, I know. You're right. This is episode 6 because I know Charlie Cox is listed as being in 3 episodes.
Interesting. Well – we'll see about that, because if that's the case, he needs to be in the next 3 if he is in 3. So
I have a feeling.
I don't think he's going to be in 3. I think he's going to, and I don't think we're going to get as much of him as we would like to see. I think he's just going to tease a couple of things and then boom, he's out. That's what I think is going to happen personally. The other thing too, fourth wall breaking, is when she arrives at the wedding and, Lulu says, please just be just Jen. And she looks at the camera going, this is the one time I didn't want to show up as just Jen.
Well, like I said, that's a great twist on the episode, too, is like she's finally accepting being Jennifer and actually wanting to embrace it. And then, you know, she's told not to. And I think it makes for a great twist, just like this whole episode is kind of a twist of and nothing we were nobody was expecting this kind of episode.
Question for you as we get into the cast here. And we're going to talk about Titania a little bit later. Also, we're going to be talking about her coworker and the B plot and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I did want to mention Josh Miller, the character played by Trevor Salter, that was kind of taking a shine to her and she was doing the same. She's had a little bit of bad luck when it comes to love. Are you feeling this is kind of a real connection, or do you think because it's the MCU, it's not?
I think at this point, I hope it's a real connection because, you know, everybody deserves a little love. But
considering
where I think these next 3 episodes might be going, there could be an unfortunate twist coming. I don't know for sure, but we'll see.
Okay. Okay. Was there any of the other guest stars, anyone else that jumped out at you? And we will be talking about the B plot because I want to mention just real quickly, I don't know if you noticed Mr. Immortal, the actor that played him, Kyle. I recognized his voice right away and I was trying to remember who the hell is that guy. And then I remembered that is David Pakesi. He was in Book of Boba Fett. And he played the really kind of like sleazy mock Shiaz's major domo, the Twi'leki guy.
Yeah.
The kind of kiss ass guy.
Yeah.
And it was his voice. I was just, because I was watching this episode going, wait, I know I've seen this guy. And my mind was slowly working through the episode when his scenes were up. And then finally, without searching the internet, without clicking on the episode or anything, I realized that's a Book of Boba Fett guy. Did you know that?
I'm like you, the voice kind of started me. And then I'm kind of looking like, where do I know this guy from? And then it clicked with me when he was starting to act a little bit sleazy towards the end of the episode and just how some of his body movements and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's who that is.
Gotcha. So, any other comments on the cast, Kyle?
I got to give it to Patty Harrison, who played Lulu. She played a perfect bridezilla. Yes. I love the fact she comes in at the end of the fight between Titania and She-Hulk and is like, you've got great breasts.
She did that when she first hugged her. And like her head is like up against her boobs and she's kind of like going, oh.
but she's obviously drunk at this point, because she's definitely not herself. And she's just, there's a She-Hulk at my party. at my wedding. I mean, she just plays it great, but she plays it so over the top and so annoying too. She's like, you just want to go up and just like shake her, maybe a woman go up and slap her because she's just being so obnoxious and so over the top. And I'm like, if these were Jen's friends in high school, she really need to get new friends in high school.
It's true. Yeah. All right. Guess what, Kyle? We've got an article.
Do we? Does this happen to be from a den?
Yes. Den of Geek. Lacey Bauer chimes in on this episode. She wrote it and released it on September 22nd. She-Hulk Attorney at Law, Episode 6. Although last week's episode of She-Hulk Attorney at Law ended in a lingering shot of Daredevil's yellow helmet, Matt Murdock is nowhere to be found in this week's installment, which, granted, the series never explicitly promised to us, but we all know what happens when we assume. But it's hard not to be a bit disappointed anyway, particularly when what we get instead is not only one of the show's silliest half hours to date, but one that has almost zero forward momentum when it comes to the larger stories this season is telling. I'm going to disagree with that. We'll go into that later.
Yeah, so I got many things on that one.
Just Jen is, as our heroine explicitly puts in this episode opening moments, a self-contained wedding episode. What comes at an inconvenient time in the show's larger narrative, which sees Jennifer Walters head out of town to serve as a bridesmaid to a former high school friend. To be fair, She-Hulk obviously nails the awkwardness of everything about this experience, including the way young women often find themselves participating in the weddings of old friends who aren't really part of their lives anymore, to a bridezilla that doesn't want Jen, in She-Hulk form, to steal her spotlight. But so much of this hour is aggressively cringe in a way that it doesn't feel like character development and isn't even particularly fun to watch. Ouch! Okay, Kyle, I want to take a little break here, and I want to address the self-contained episode discussion. But you had a thought you wanted to share. Go.
This is not a self-contained episode. Yes, it might be a self-contained She-Hulk story, but there's some things that happen to this that I am thinking not only have effect in the rest of She-Hulk, but could be tying into a much more important film coming out later in the MCU.
What film? Come on. I'm going to pick your brain, Kyle. What film? What film?
I think we could be looking at maybe some connections to a certain Captain America film that is coming.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay. So, yes, I disagree with her take on this. Maybe just Lacey's not really digging this series. But anyway, I think there was character development in this. The whole thing with Titania, I think being a little jealous and She-Hulk overshadowing her kind of big superhero B-street level character, kind of encroaching on her popularity. Who's this other superhero woman? I should be the superhero woman. So, you know, that was kind of brought up there, Kyle.
Can I pull a little tie into the comics here and now as far as Titania
is concerned? Sure, yeah, please.
So this was a kind of a running joke in the Dan Slott run of She-Hulk. Titania was always trying to make herself like She-Hulk's my ultra, you know, my other side of my coin, my yin to my yang. She would show up randomly in issues of the comics threatening She-Hulk. And there was one that was one of the most classic moments. She-Hulk with her boyfriend at the time, Wyatt Wingfoot, they're walking down the street. Titania shows up. She-Hulk hits her, and the next thing you see is just Titania flying off the panel. And Wyatt's like, wow, that was a good one. She's like, yeah, I've really never got into one quite like that with her before. I think she's going to land in Jersey, but I don't know for sure. but it becomes a running joke that Titania is like, she's trying to be this big threat, but she isn't. And they kind of play up on that here a little bit.
Okay. Well, the self-contained, I'm glad you know that, by the way, Kyle. Thank you. The self-contained episode is a thing that has been a TV trope for a long, long, long time. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's a clip show to, you know, make up time and to, slash budget on a season or whatever. But I thought this was clever, especially the way it was addressed right away. And moments at weddings are always entertaining. sometimes, you know, entertaining in different ways. They could be funny, like the movie Bridesmaids, or they could be horrifying, like in Game of Thrones and House of Dragons, you know, and so weddings are a great way just to get a lot of people in one situation to create calamity, humor, drama. And I think actually this episode might be more important than people are just kind of throwing at it, especially in this article. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this one works very much as a self-contained, as far as the wedding aspect goes. Again, I love the fact that Marvel kind of trolled the fans a little bit with like, oh, Daredevil's coming. Oh, but first we're going to have this wedding here. I think having Titania in here, and I kind of hope this is kind of like the resolution to Titania in this series. I think.
Well, hold on to that thought there, Kyle, because that's the next thing that we're going to discuss.
Okay, well then, bring it.
So Lacey goes on saying, the idea that Jen wants people in her life to take her professional and superhero success seriously and see that they have just as much value, whether or not she has a boyfriend, or is both sympathetic and painfully realistic, though this episode undercuts that tension a bit by having Jen meet a handsome friend of the groom at the reception to flirt with. Anyway, and again, the show nails the awkward pity and inexpressible frustration that always accompanies these kinds of questions that all imply you're a complete failure at life if you're not paired off romantically. Unfortunately, the insertion of Titania, who crashes a wedding at a date of a friend of the groom and tries to gaslight everyone into believing she's not there to mess with her apparent arch nemesis before the two inevitably come to blows, doesn't help that this story finds its way. Look, I'm not opposed to watching She-Hulk punch the human avatar of influencer culture in the face every week, and a low-stakes villain for a low-stakes series, ouch, makes a ton of sense. After all, but their rivalry is, at this point, paper thin. I mean, why is Titania so obsessed with Jen? And who is she as a character in her own right? The show doesn't seem particularly interested in telling us, but since it doesn't seem as though she's going away anytime soon, it would be nice to understand a bit more about what her motivations are. So Kyle, questioning Titania here, I'm just going to throw this out there. I think Titania was brought into this to not only show some comic connectivity, but to kind of show another side of, let's say, self-obsessed superheroes that are all about their image. But I also think to have someone to confront and have issues with Jen as She-Hulk, where she's starting to learn her powers and maybe learning how not to do things because of Titania, and that's why this character isn't really going to be a big bad. She's just going to be an annoying bad. Your thoughts?
Okay, there's a comment I need to make here, and this is something that, as you were reading this, it hit me wrong, and that
rubbed
is,
you the wrong way, did it?
That is the assumption that everybody needs to have every little thing explained out for them with a character. Mm. If you can't see what is going on with Titania and kind of add two and two together, go work on yourself a little bit here, because it's pretty obvious. Titania was this massive influencer, super strong woman, kind of unique in her own way in the MCU. And all of a sudden, here comes She-Hulk. She's prettier. She's the cousin of an Avenger. She's a lawyer.
Successful in her career.
But yet she doesn't seem to really want it. She's just kind of there. And it drives Titania crazy, because not only is she stepping on Titania's workplace, everything she's kind of built for herself.
Yeah, her social media influencer empire is getting encroached upon. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, and just the fact
people are talking about someone other than Titania, and that bugs her.
Yeah, exactly. It's a jealousy factor, and now she sees She-Hulk as somebody who's above her, and she wants to knock She-Hulk down a peg so she can be recognized. You talked about She-Hulk learning her powers, though. I think she already has an advantage over Titania from all of her training with Bruce and learning the aspects of being a Hulk. So I think there is that. And I think you see it in this episode when they have the fight, Kevin, and she kind of slips and trips on the ice and knocks all her teeth out and because I don't think the Titania really understands all the aspects of what her body is with the super strength.
Yeah, that's true. Or
Jen has a pretty good idea, other than when she gets drunk and forgets how to transform.
Yeah, yeah, and it's it was a funny scene to see, but it was nice to see that. You know, especially the slow motion punch, you know, that She-Hulk did to Titania. And it was a very entertaining scene, but you kind of see Jen as She-Hulk gaining her confidence and her own powers as well. And learning a little bit more about that. But I don't think Titania, I'll be honest with you, Kyle. I wouldn't be surprised if Titania made peace with She-Hulk eventually and maybe, started to turn and become good, I guess, and maybe a friend and learn something out of this. Would you like to see that?
I could see it going either way. I'm kind of indifferent because Titania has always been a villain in the comics and she's a pretty diehard villain. But
okay,
again, the MCU. But Kevin, I think the other thing that this really did establish too is that even though Titania may have been around a little longer, Jennifer is really at a level above Titania across the board. And it's just driving Titania insane in every way possible because her own ego is just being assaulted by She-Hulk's presence.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I love the Annie Lennox song where she starts to get drunk and she's like,
yeah, walking on broken glass.
And she's looking at it going, cash bar, of course.
Yeah. And, I mean, she must have dropped about $80 at the cash bar.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty funny. All right, let's talk about Nikki, because Lacey does talk about her in this. So let's talk about that. Maybe it's just that Nikki has rapidly become my favorite character on the show, but I love getting to see her explain her role beyond her designated slot as Jen's BFF. In and out of the box thinker and problem solver, Renee Elise Goldberry as Ginger Gonzaga have a wonderfully offbeat, delightful chemistry with one another. And I hope this relationship between Nikki and Mallory is one that She-Hulk allows to develop further. There's every reason to hope it will. Now that two women have discovered Intelligentsia, the vile internet cesspit for hateful man babies that seems to exist solely to insult the levy death threats at Jen and also presumably serve as sort of a big bad for the back half of the season. We'll discuss that part a little bit later, Kyle, but I'm really enjoying Nikki. I think she's been shining. She's been stealing moments here and there, which is great. And this episode, you could tell between her and Mallory, and Mallory was just like gaining some new respect for her. She really, really excelled in this episode. I'm digging it.
The great thing about the character is that she's the opposite of Jen when it comes to confidence. She has this never-ending confidence. She puts herself out there, and she brings Jen along for the ride. But we see here where she's with Mallory, and she still has that same confidence. And that confidence makes her an intriguing character who's not afraid to speak her mind, not afraid to get herself in any situation. And that's what makes her such an intriguing character, because she gets herself involved and she puts herself in there instead of just sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's nice to see her be very valuable to the firm as well, be a very good coworker, and not to mention she's a good friend to Jen, and I like that they show that.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I really do like the chemistry though that Nikki has with Mallory, and I'm like, yeah, I want to see more of this team together. Like if Jen is out superhero hulking it up or superheroing, I want to see them doing the legal stuff, because she worked the room of ex-wives like a champion.
Yes, definitely. Lacey ends the article, and this is something we're going to explore a little bit later in phase three, Kyle. Goes on to say, admittedly, the shadowy group behind the website already seems to pose a bigger threat to Jen than Titania does, since they're definitely the ones who sent the Wrecking Crew to attack her a few episodes back and still seems fairly intent on finding a way to steal some of her blood. Since we know that no one ever has non-nefarious reason for wanting to forcibly acquire the bodily fluids of others, this is definitely the work of supervillains, right? Question mark. She gives this episode a rating of 3.5 out of 5. So, any other reactions to the article, Kyle?
I think she hits on some points, and there is a validity to her points for certain people, and I can see where they would come from on this. But again, this is one of the, Kevin, we've talked about this last episode. People just need to accept that this is just a fun series. It's I think we're heading to the point over the next few episodes where we're going to start seeing it tie in a little more to some of the bigger aspects of the MCU, but just enjoy the ride here, guys. It's fun. It's different. It's refreshing. Yeah. It doesn't feel weighted down in a bunch of canon and gunk, and they just have fun.
I had a coworker.
Work your funny bone.
Yeah, and I had a coworker today, actually. She's a little bit older than me, and she's like, are you watching She-Hulk? I'm like, oh, yeah. She's like, what do you think? I'm like, I'm completely enjoying it. And she seemed kind of surprised by it because her and her husband were starting to watch it. And she wasn't quite sure what to think of it, but she was enjoying it. And I kind of said, look, you know, if you're expecting this kind of dark, serious MCU show, I didn't really ask her how much of the MCU she's watched. Just enjoy it as a fun comedy and put yourself in the same situations as you're watching this. Trust me, you'll enjoy it. She's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But I have enjoyed the first couple episodes. So, you know, it's one of those things I feel like I'm having to defend the show or explain it to people. Have you found yourself having to do that?
A little bit. Yeah. And it's a little bit, not everything has to be serious. Have some fun. But Kevin, I just have to say, Miller, Josh Miller, I'm watching you. Don't be messing too much with my Tatiana.
That's funny. All right, let's get into phase two. We've got some trivia. All right, Kyle, let me clarify. I have no trivia, but I found some She-Hulk tropes.
Okay, so I'm going to forgive you for no trivia this week because this really doesn't tie into anything in the comics as far as stuff they did in the comics. I think they just literally, Jessica Gao wrote this episode and said, I'm just having fun.
These are just some funny things that kind of popped out, some scenes of interest and some funny tropey stuff. So as we mentioned, Lulu was very impressed with the size of She-Hulk's breast while drunk. I thought that was kind of funny. Downplayed, but Jen gets so smashed during the wedding that she temporarily forgets how to transform the She-Hulk. I transformed enough to just destroy her shoes.
Yeah, I do have a question about this. How long do you think it takes a drunk Jennifer Walters to get sober when she turns into She-Hulk?
Instantaneously, I think.
If not instantaneously, but within a minute or two.
But she has to get there first, and that's the trouble. Is that her kryptonite, like alcohol?
Yeah. At least as when she's Jen.
Lulu is obnoxious as the bride-to-be. To put it mildly, half the staff quits because she mistreats them, which leads to Jen being saddled with cleaning duty. I don't know if I could continue being in – one of the things that bugs me the most is when people are rude – to servers and mean to pets. But rude to servers, I'm like, I'm out. So compared to their last fight, Titania actually managed to go toe-to-toe with She-Hulk for a bit and even lands a few blows. Jen eventually seizes the upper hand, and Titania, who notices that most of the onlookers have their phones out, tries to get it back, only to trip and fall flat on her face at the point where she's forced to leave with what dignity she has left. Does she have any left, Kyle? That was pretty harsh.
It's very close. And that ties into what I was talking about earlier, because here she is. She's freaking out because she knows now that all these things are going to be on social media, and she's so social media obsessed, and it just completely just freaks her out.
Yeah, definitely.
She took it. By the way, that was a serious piece of cake she took with her.
Yeah,
I know. Right.
And she starts it too, because she's like, Titania was willing to sucker punch Jen because she's pretty, but she doesn't try to throw any more punches until Jen becomes what she wants to defeat She-Hulk. I guess she'd rather defeat She-Hulk on common ground as opposed to just beating up on Jen.
It goes to an ego thing. It means nothing to beat up Jennifer Walters. It means everything to beat up She-Hulk.
Yeah. I thought this was funny too. We're going to call this the vomit discretion shot. Jen throws up after drinking too much at the wedding. This act obscured by the camera angle and the small flower bed she vomits into. Did you think that she was going to actually turn instead of just throw up? I thought that was kind of a funny little twist.
I think she was going to puke and turn at the same time. Kind of like, you know, where like when you sneeze and fart at the same time, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Been there. So Lulu has a good reason to not want Jen to be She-Hulk mode during the wedding, but everything else about her conduct is obnoxious, where the other bridesmaids are paired with groomsmen. Jen has to walk with a dog named Jonathan. The other bridesmaids are no better, making Jen iron the men's shirts. Dude, Jonathan the dog, which I didn't understand right away with your inside joke. He was so cute. Oh my God. You get the little face.
Yeah, but he is a little leaky.
Yeah, I know, but he's really cute. I just got to say, I love the little suit.
But you know what? Everybody loves Jonathan, so it's all good.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all I got for non-trivia / trope stuff.
It's fun, though. And that, you know, again, this hits to everything that She-Hulk is, and it's great, and I'm loving it, Kevin. But you know what? With that, I think we need to recover from some of our tropes. I might need to go puke out and Hulk out for just a minute. So while that's going on, I'm going to let everybody find out what else is going on around the Fandom Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU Podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. The Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Now, hopefully you're enjoying everything we're doing on the Fandom Podcast Network. I just want to say, Tatiana, I've got a plate of French fries and some ketchup. You name the time and place, I'm going to be there. With that, Kevin, can you take us into phase three?
Of course. Okay, so this is the self-contained episode. It's a wedding. We've kind of touched on the main plot with Titania a little bit and, you know, the humorous stuff that was obviously happening at the wedding. But I thought we'd just go into plot B because this was kind of fun. And this is an actual excerpt from the Den of Geek article by Lacey Bauer. And I did want to mention this. So on the plus side, this B plot, this week's B plot, is actually one of the series' strongest yet, pairing off Nikki and Mallory to tackle a divorce case while Jen's out of town. The client is generally a dirtbag of a man named Mr. Immortal, who, believe it or not, is actually an Avenger in the world of Marvel Comics. Kyle, yes, I have questions for you in a second.
I have
who has been married many times, but instead of legally ending those relationships, he repeatedly stages his own death, running into traffic, accidentally swallowing poison, etc. He even throws himself out a window to get out of an awkward meeting at GLK and H lawyers. And you are a stronger person than I am if you didn't laugh out loud at that moment or instantly long for a gif of it. Ooh, I do want to see that, Kyle. The clip of him falling to his death immediately goes viral, bringing nearly a dozen of Mr. Immortal's previous partners out of the woodwork to demand retribution for the various ways he has harmed, abandoned, or otherwise wronged them. Favorite slight, the New Orleans Jazz funeral. He let one former spouse spend $10,000 on. This subplot is fun, original use of She-Hulk's unique procedural format. After all, the Subhuman Law Division should actually start working on some cases that don't involve Jin and the idea of random low-level superpower people rolling through the office with problems that need solving has always been part of the concept that sets this series apart from everything else in the universe. And I like what she said about there, Kyle, that, you know, whenever we would watch legal shows, you have your main stars, but then you have like the co-stars handling their own individual cases and B-plots, whether they're serious or they're funny. And this is kind of what they're doing here. But before we go any further, Kyle, Mr. Immortal, explain yourself.
Okay. You may have heard of the Avengers. You have may have even heard of the West Coast Avengers. But I am about to tell you the tale of the greatest Avengers team of all time. The Great Lakes Avengers.
The Great Lakes Avengers. I feel like this has been brought up before because it's ringing a little chord in my memory. Are we talking about like Michigan, Lake Michigan?
And yeah, Wisconsin. They're based out of Wisconsin.
Okay. Okay, go.
So they were introduced in an issue of West Coast Avengers when John Byrne, the amazing comics writer, was doing his run on West Coast Avengers. They consisted of the team of Dinosaur, a mute pterodactyl-looking girl, Big Bertha, a fashion model who could grow herself to over 300 pounds, Flat Man, basically think Reed Richards, but flat, the incredible Squirrel Girl, who actually was going to get her own Marvel show that was going to be played by the actress who plays Lily from AT&T.
I remember hearing about this, and also a good friend of mine I used to work with in Georgia, she did a Squirrel Girl costume at Dragon Con that was phenomenal, and I've actually seen a Squirrel Girl action figure, and she like rides a scooter, I guess.
Yeah. Apparently at some point she even hooked up with Wolverine in the comics, I'm just saying.
Nice.
And of course their leader was one Mr. Immortal. Now he wasn't really screwed on that tight, but when you die and keep coming back, sometimes that affects you. You should know something about this because I believe there's a few immortals in Highlander who had that issue as well.
Yes, there was a few quirky immortals in the Highlander television series. Yes.
So in this case, they're playing him up to be a little older. The actor who is older than what he is in the comics. In the comics, he appears maybe to be in his late 20s or so. Okay. Not getting a little screwed. But here, I love what they've done in the fact that he's basically using his powers to get himself out of a situation, when he's done with somebody to move along. It plays great comedy. And Kevin, I got to tell you, if I was offered like three or four of those 1981 Apple stocks options, I'd be jumping all over those too.
I hope that the Great Lakes Avengers, right?
Yes,
Kyle. Mm-hmm. I hope that they're brought up like just as an afterthought in like one of the upcoming Avenger films. That would be very, very funny. Yeah. What about that group we have in Wisconsin?
Yeah. The other thing, we were talking about Squirrel Girl, and I just remembered it. Anna Kendrick did a famous cosplay of Squirrel Girl.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Do I have time to Google that right now?
I might have it on speed dial, but I don't know. I'm a big fan of Lily's too, and I would have. She looked pretty good in the outfit because she did some tet
shots. All right, shots in making that, a mental note of things to do in 20 minutes. Okay. Anyway, a very funny B plot here, Kyle. Like we mentioned before, Nikki and her coworker Mallory. And Mallory, yes, working very, very well together. Very, very clever, and I like to see these B plots happening with the rest of the crew.
Yeah, I think it was great. We had one this week. We had one last week with the hooking up Jen with the Taylor, the superhero Taylor. Yeah. So I'm liking the fact that the things they're doing here. And I think it's one of the good things that She-Hulk does very well.
Because this was a self-contained episode, Kyle, we usually, you know, we've obviously topic one was the plot analysis and timeline. And we've already established that. But did we see or hear anything regarding any ties to the MCU? You've already touched on the comics, but what about the MCU?
So while nothing officially confirmed, Kevin, I do have conspiracy theories amok after watching this episode.
Okay.
I think the events of this episode and things that we are seeing presented at the end of this episode with these scientific-y guys, and you see them making the new syringe, much thicker syringe for possibly She-Hulk, this intelligentsia, I think it ties into Captain America, the New World Order, because I think all the signs point to this intelligentsia and the scientific community and the wanting of She-Hulk's blood. It points an awful lot to the leader.
I'm just saying that there's
the leader that we saw from The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, played by Tim Blake Nelson,
which has been confirmed as the villain in this. Okay, gotcha. Interesting. So I'm liking this. Okay.
They could even be, you know, using She-Hulk's blood to possibly create Red Hulk down the line, which is a very popular character. Was actually Thunderbolt Ross in the comics. I don't know if we would recast Thunderbolt Ross or not for MCU, but just saying. I think She-Hulk is starting to lay its little bit of groundwork for its effect on the MCU and setting up some things that I think are going to play into a very big part of a major film for the MCU later on with Captain America: New World Order.
You just brought up something very interesting, Kyle. Because they have the Thunderbolts, I kind of feel like they should recast the character since the actor passed away. If they're going to play an important part or do something with that. So that's interesting. Well, let me ask you. So Intelligentsia, obviously, it's this fictional social network. I got this from the Tropes, by the way. She described the page as... It's kind of like resembling Reddit or Live Leak, where Nikki Mallory discover everything from hateful memes to death threats against Jen. I think this is something too that might be working with this big bad group that wants the blood. Maybe I don't know. What do you think?
I got to throw this out. We were talking about ties to the MCU. I need to go investigate this for myself, but I got to throw it out to Jomie the Explainer, one of the Midnight Boys.
Yes, okay. And
he does the Mint Condition podcast, which they're talking about She-Hulk. It's him and Steve Allman. Intelligentsia, this is not the first time we've heard this word in the MCU. Apparently, this word was used during Age of Ultron. So I need to go back into my Age of Ultron, rewatch it, and see if I can catch that. But apparently, there's a mention of Intelligentsia in Age of Ultron.
So I'm having a little internet connection issues.
I was just going to say, so either the Intelligentsia didn't like that we were hitting too close to home on the topic, or Madison called you and you had to go run and take care of something.
I preferred it have been the latter, but that was not the case. It's Madison with two Y's, right? Am I getting that right?
No, it's Madison with two N's, but you don't know where the Y is.
Kyle, you went out on me, or I went out on you, when you were talking about what they were saying on the other podcast. So start over with that regarding this group here. This has nefarious reasons that also included this, big syringe being put into a radiation-proof box.
Yeah, well, and again, I just a shout out to the Ringer, the Mint Condition podcast with Midnight Boys, Jomie and Steve. They brought up that the Intelligentsia had been mentioned in Age of Ultron. So now I need to go back and rewatch Age of Ultron and see if I can catch that, because I don't remember that, but I know those guys know their stuff.
Okay, so interesting.
So I'm curious to see what's going on there. But yeah, I think the Intelligentsia is maybe like the leader up. Kind of hit one of his ways of manipulating the situations and one of his work groups that he goes through and, you know, manipulate some normal people into doing his bidding for things he wants.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Obviously, they're leading up to something, which, my additional comments and reaction to this episode, I do want to ask you something. I don't know if this would fall under phase four. Yeah, this will fall under with phase four and final thoughts. So unless you had any other comments about this episode.
You're good.
Okay. Nope.
Keep take us on.
All right, cool. Why don't you go ahead and hit it? Cause I had to restart.
you're just the gamma radiation finally caught up with you.
Didn't it? It did.
Okay. That's what I thought. Well, here's a little more for you. Just anyway. Kevin, is it just me or are you looking a little green under the gills?
Something is messing with our internet here. So, yeah. In my defense, by the way, we were supposed to have some power outages that were planned because they're working on something. So I don't know if that's working, if they're messing with the internet. So I had to kind of go on Wi-Fi here. So I apologize for that. But I got to ask you. So final thoughts here. We are a little bit more now than halfway through this. We got three more episodes that are planned, Kyle. I think that they've teased, obviously, the Matt Murdock Daredevil thing here. I don't think we're going to get as much as we're hoping for. I alluded that to earlier in the episode. So
I'll be honest with you, Kyle. This secret organization that wants She-Hulk's blood, I get the feeling that might come in the last episode, maybe with Murdoch making an appearance there. I'm kind of fine with the next two episodes just being character developing, little teases here of what is to come in the final episode. I'm enjoying Tatiana being just Jen. I'm enjoying her coworkers. I'm enjoying these funny little legal things that's happening. I'm fine if they don't dive into the deep MCU pool of stuff to come, and we have to have this bigger, like, you know, big bad hanging over us. I'm kind of enjoying just the comedy aspect of this. I got to be honest with you. You?
Oh, I mean, I'm loving the comedy aspect of it, but I really do think that these next three episodes are going to get a little bit more on the superhero-y side of things as well. Here is my prediction, Kevin. I think we do see Matt Murdock play a heavy role in next episode. Notice I'm saying Matt Murdock, because I think we get introduced to Matt Murdock in court up against Jennifer Walters for a case. I think towards the end of next week's episode, Jen gets attacked for the first time from this organization again, and Matt and Daredevil comes to her rescue, and that's how that episode is going to end. I think the next episode will be kind of the superhero team up between Daredevil and She-Hulk, and kind of that dynamic. And I think Daredevil is going to be kind of the hero to kind of show Jennifer Walters and She-Hulk why it's important she be a superhero as well.
Yeah.
Episode 9 is kind of the climax of everything that's been going on with She-Hulk, which I still think just hits the very tip of the iceberg to a much bigger picture that's going to play out throughout the MCU over the next couple of phases.
Where there'll be a romantic interest between Jen and Matt, you think?
She-Hulk, very good-looking lady. Matt Murdock, Charlie Cox, always does well with the ladies.
Just saying, they're both lawyers, you know, hot lawyers in love, maybe.
Yeah. There could be a little chemistry there. Like I said, Matt Murdock does well with the ladies.
They're in L.A.
Yeah.
So they're like L.A. law.
Or law and order. Bunk, bunk.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that because I'm kind of curious. And I feeling people are going to probably bitch if they don't get like all this, you know, Matt Murdock stuff. I think we're going to set some stuff up for obviously his show that's going to be in production sometime soon. I think coming out in 2024 was the projected year for that, because they're probably going to start shooting this year and then release it next year. So
let's not forget, we're going to get a lot of Daredevil and Echo too. So we are not.
Are we getting a lot?
No. If they're doing the storylines I think they're doing, we're going to get at least, I bet you at least half those episodes contain Daredevil.
Okay. All right. Well, Kyle, close this out.
Well, first of all, we got to bang the gavel. Court is now out of session for this week. Kevin, you did very good. Your Hulk out kind of knocked out the internet, but you know, you gotta be you, man. You be proud, be green and proud, man. It's always a great time here with all of you wonderful listeners of our True Believers podcast. It's been a blast doing She-Hulk. We promise. No, I don't think we're having any more just out of the blue weddings, Kevin. You got yours out of the way. I don't have one in my foreseeable future. I think we're good, unless Adam O'Brien's not telling us something. But you know. But otherwise, thank you so much to all of our amazing True Believer listeners. You can find us, of course, on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com, where you can watch us on our wonderful YouTube channel, Fandom Podcast Network. Give us a like, give us a subscribe, share us out. You know, more viewers, the better. We appreciate all the wonderful support. Of course, visit our True Believers Facebook group, where we keep you updated on all the goings on in the MCU. We have a lot of fun there too. And of course, too, you can find True Believers and all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network, of course, on many of the wonderful podcast catchers out there, including Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, all of them. They're all out there. I am your host Kyle. You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you in your normal version, non-hulked out Reitzel?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. And of course, in the True Believers Facebook group. Make sure you check us out there. And of course, on Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, real quick. I might have seen a little bit of footage from Black Panther today, Wakanda Forever, that may have happened at D23 that they didn't put out on the internet. I might have seen a little bit of that today.
I kind of don't want to see anything anymore. Yeah. I'm glad you did, but I think I've seen too much.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but I'm just going to say I am ready for that movie. The tickets need to go on sale because I need my ticket because I'm
November, right? Wakanda.
November 11th.
Bring it.
Gotcha. But for all you wonderful True Believers listeners out there, again, as always, Excelsior, and make ours Marvel.